Isn't this a sports show?
I'm not calling for Alex Smith to get shipped out of town.
Almost entirely.
I will carry Alex Smith to the airport on my back, like a koala.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Excuse me. I'm talent. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I'm sorry, what were you saying the past 5 minutes or so?
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Do I come across as thoroughly hateable as I toot my own horn on this Royals thing?
Well, I'm tooting your horn.
What?
Damn it.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome in to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City, brought to you by Mucinex, Kleenex, and Hall's Cough Drops. The Chiefs are 4-0. How can I start this show with complaining? Well, it's because this whole show today is going to be done with the sense of, like, full-size cotton balls shoved up my nostrils. I don't know who gets a cold in early October whenever it's 80 degrees out, but apparently I do.
I had something yesterday. Chest cold kind of feeling.
We're on a solid day two here.
It's not great.
It's not great. Also, not great timing, but a thing I'm very excited about. Tomorrow, this show is going to be live out at Pega's Family Restaurant. It's at 8701 Shawnee Mission Parkway in Merriam, Kansas. It's at the intersection of Antioch and Shawnee Mission Parkway. So come say hi. Come by from 4 to 6. We'll take a picture. We'll talk some Chiefs. Maybe you can catch my cold.
It'll be a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday.
It'll be a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday. I don't know if Charlie's going to be involved in this wet and wild, wacky Wednesday, because I don't know what his... I think he's helping set up the remote. I think he'll be out there,
Yeah, he'll be out there with you. Whether or not he actually brings a headset for himself is another thing.
To be determined still. But that's tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. out at Pega's. It would be great to see any of you come out. In fairness, like, just like wide open. It's a little bit of a litmus test for, hey, can ESPN Kansas City get people out to a live event? So if you want to support this show and get some good food, that's what we can do tomorrow, 4 to 6, out at Pega's at Shawnee Mission Parkway and Antioch. The Chiefs are 4-0. They're the only 4-0 team in football. And also, one more show note. We have this show today. We have the show tomorrow out at Pega's. And we are off Thursday and Friday because there's going to be playoff Major League Baseball here on ESPN Kansas City. So today we're going to recap all the action from last night, and then tomorrow we're going to spend a grand majority of tomorrow's game looking at Chiefs versus Texans on Sunday Night Football coming up next Sunday. It's going to be the longest I haven't been on radio for like over a month. I have a 3-day stretch where I won't be on radio in any, or a 4-day stretch. My goodness, what will I do with all of the off time? But today we'll be talking, of course, about last night's victory in Arrowhead on Monday Night Football against Washington. I left that game last night thinking more highly of Washington than I had previously, and in some ways thinking more highly of the Chiefs. We're going to talk about a lot of different things that play into all of this. I think it's only fair to start with Alex Smith. I think what we saw last night was the definition of a good Alex Smith game. On the TV in front of me right now, I just saw the highlight of Smith rolling right late in the game and then throwing that bullet to Albert Wilson that he caught kind of ricocheting off his helmet. A brilliant play. I think what we saw last night was the kind of actual ceiling for Alex Smith. Now you might be saying, well, didn't he play better against the Patriots? Yes, he did. The Patriots game was Alex Smith's best game that I've seen since the Colts playoff game. But what we saw last night, I think, was Alex Smith doing what Alex Smith does well to the best of his abilities. And I also think that with the shifting landscape of the NFL, this version of Alex Smith can win you playoff games alongside everything else that they have. Alex Smith is absolutely being elevated by the weapons around him, and that is not an insult. Did you see Matt Ryan last Sunday? He lost Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu, and the offense fell apart, and they lost at home to Buffalo. Matt Ryan is also elevated by the weapons around him. It's only the most obvious thing, but very often whenever you say that, people get defensive. That is not an insult to Alex Smith in any way whatsoever. I think he would probably tell you the same thing. But what happened last night is that with an offensive line, especially the interior of the offensive line, that was slowly but surely caving in, Alex Smith did the things that I always get worried that he won't do. He was making quick decisions, and whenever the pressure started coming towards him, he kept his eyes up. That's a hard thing to do as a quarterback, something Alex Smith has to do. And last night was a success. In fact, there was only one play that I remember where there was pressure. The offensive linemen were moving backwards. This is the one bad instance where the offensive linemen were moving backwards, but there was no actual pressure coming through. And Smith simply tucked the ball and panicked and like fell down. That was the only time when everyone went, oh, God, there it is with Alex Smith and his eye level. That's the thing that always concerns me. That's the thing that always makes me wonder about his ceiling. That was the only time that happened last night in a game when Smith could not afford to do that more than once. The way the offense worked last night was how it's going to work, or how it's going to have to work going into the playoffs. Similar to last week, the Chiefs won by more points than they actually won by. They won the game 23-20, and then they scored a touchdown in addition to that. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. It was a blast. Seeing Justin Houston score a touchdown was very fun. But the way that the offense moved last night, especially in the second half, it was 10-7 at halftime. But the Chiefs always seem to adjust well out of the half. The way the offense moved then was textbook for how Andy Reid wants to run this team. Alex Smith throws for 293 yards. 111 of those to Travis Kelce on 7 receptions. Tyreek Hill ends up with 5 receptions for just 35 yards. Albert Wilson gets into the action, 4 for 63. Kareem Hunt rushes for 101 yards on 21 carries. This is an offense that is always going to have playmakers who aren't covered. Always. There are always going to be matchups for the Chiefs to exploit, 100% of the time. Or if not 100%, very, very close to it. Against the Chargers, the guy that was sort of dropped out of the mix was Travis Kelce. Last night, the guy who dropped out of the mix was Tyreek Hill. That's okay. That's actually okay. Not many teams can say this, but the Chiefs can have one of their three best weapons kind of fall off the face of the earth for a minute, and it doesn't change the fundamental buildup of the offense. Because the other two guys pick up the slack. Now, so far, Kareem Hunt has never failed to show up. Not to say that Travis Kelce failed to show up last week or that Tyreek Hill failed to show up this week. But there are always guys at the top of this offense. Travis Kelce talked last night after the game. He's the star here, and I think that he is finally getting the credit he deserves as being some sort of extraterrestrial. Got over 100 receiving yards yesterday. The touchdown, just a tremendous showing from him. Let's hear from him last night.
Just happy that we got the win, man. It's awesome to come away, and especially like a fourth quarter game like that. I mean, it feels like we've had just about every game that we started off here to be pretty close. So I mean, it's just to see this team finish, man. It's unbelievable.
Travis, how hard is it to be undefeated even through 4 weeks in the league?
I mean, it's the NFL. It's any given Sunday for a reason. All these teams are scheming everybody up, and it's it's a testament to this team for especially not only being 4-0, but the way we've won, handled adversity very well, and sure out. Got the fourth win today.
Take us back to the first quarter. You guys are down 10-0. I mean, what were the conversations to shift this offense?
We knew we weren't playing our style of football, especially offensively. We started off with a penalty. I had a couple missed blocks early that put us in some bad positions. And it's just accountability. It's looking around at the guy next to you, knowing that he's busting his tail all game just for the same outcome that you are. So it's trusting that the guy next to you is doing his job.
Is this as good as you've seen Alex play?
I mean, I'm biased, so I think he's been playing outstanding his entire career, at least the 5 years that I've been with him. But it's good to see that he's finally starting to get the notoriety that I feel like he's always deserved.
Continue to play your best in the fourth quarter. What does it say about the team that you're able to continue to play?
Like I said, man, it's a testament. It lets everybody in the league know that we finish. You know, it's a gut check once you get in the fourth quarter. It's something that we pride ourselves on.
Even the rookie, Butker, obviously coming through.
Yeah, 7. I had to go introduce myself to him before the game, just to make sure that if I said something to him, it held a little bit more accountability than just a stranger coming up to him on the street. So,
did you feel like you were in for a big bounce back game this week?
I just go out there and play, man. However, we got to get the win. We get the win.
You literally introduced yourself to him right before the game.
Yeah, I told him my name was Travis. Yeah,
Travis, and he said.
Yeah, he said hi.
Travis, is a gut check you talked about. Does that show this team has a mental toughness as well?
Oh yeah, that's what I mean when I say the gut check is that mentally we can handle adversity and we can come through and come together in the fourth quarter.
Travis, coach said he was proud of you the way that you were getting maybe held a lot. You didn't lose your cool. How did you manage to kind of keep your head in the game when they were?
Kind of roll with the punches. You know what I mean? It's football. Things aren't going to go your way, especially when you kind of put it in the ref's hands. There were a couple plays there where I feel like I could have done better. The last one being the third down there in the fourth quarter. I thought that if I played a little bit more physical, that I would have been able to be there for Alex. But instead, you know what I mean? It went that way, and sure enough, we just kept it rolling. Short memory and moved on.
We saw you decided to put your arm around Chris Conley's shoulders. What went into that?
Just support for the entire the protest, and I'll answer those questions outside of this locker room.
Travis, if you had to tackle Kareem Hunt, what would that look like?
I mean, I can't tackle anybody. And if there's an interception, I'm the last guy that you want on the field. But it's fun watching him run. I mean, that guy can run over anybody. He can jump out of the way. Everybody can hurdle guys. I mean, he's brought a spark to this team that we thrive off of.
What did Alex look like on the run tonight?
He's running for his life. Scooter, man. 11 can roll. 11 can roll. Don't forget his Utah days.
Travis Kelce last night. I was distracted after hearing the British voice that came through. I'm not sure I heard anything of that Kelce said afterwards.
11 can scoot, man. He's got Scooter.
That's true. That's okay. I did catch that also. Just a really good game last night from Kelce. And really, again, this is sort of bizarre. I feel like for most of these games so far this year, I've come out of the games saying, all right, that was a win, but let's look at the places where this didn't go so well, where there were problems here that we might not have seen in the final score. Here, I'm having a very different experience. I look what the Chiefs did last night, and I think, hey, that's a really good performance against another team that was putting out their best effort, like as an actual contending team. Lots of injuries on both sides. The Chiefs had to deal with a battered interior offensive line. Washington was losing guys left and right. But even in a game that they almost lost with that I guess you can call it a drop towards the end from Josh Doctson. That fantastic, he played the ball fantastically, and whenever he came down, he just couldn't hold on. If that gets held on to, the Chiefs probably lose last night. But even with all of that the whole way around, I watched last night an offense that put up 23 points, barely. They got 6 more from the defense at the end. I was pretty happy with how the offense managed, especially in the second half, obviously. I think the stat was that every time they touched the ball in the second half, they scored every possession. I can live with that. The second half adjustments are interesting. I know we've talked about these a few times, but the second half adjustments are really interesting because I guess it means that the Chiefs, both Andy Reid and Bob Sutton and Matt Nagy, all see things in the first half they weren't expecting to see, which is sort of the whole point of coaching, I guess. And then they adjust to it really well. The Chiefs are going to have a coaching advantage in every game they play this year. And it's just going to be that way. So I was happy with that. Also, on the other side of the ball, you can look at Washington's box score if that helps explain the narrative. It's a jumping-off point, I guess. Kirk Cousins was 14 for 24 for 220 yards through a couple touchdowns. He also ran for 38 yards. He led the team in running, but all four rushers for Washington had pretty much the same stat line. 7 for 38, 6 for 27, 6 for 23, 7 for 23, being Cousins, P. Ryan, Thompson, Kelly in that order. Rob Kelly got hurt pretty early on, though, so that threw a little bit of a wrench into their plans. But the run defense held up very well, even though they ended up giving up 111 yards on the ground with a couple of those scrambles from Kirk Cousins being the difference maker. I never once for a second thought that Washington was going to run all over this team. I never once for a second thought that the Chiefs were in danger of being trampled out of this game. Never a concern. The talent on that defense is too overwhelming. And frankly, I said this yesterday. For all of the issues I have with Frank Zombo as a pass rusher, he led the team in tackles last night. He's a better run defender than Dee Ford is. But everything from Benny Logan in the middle to Ron Parker everywhere to Daniel Sorensen in the back of the defense, throughout that whole defense last night, I was just impressed with how they managed against an offense that I think you can really have some reasonable fear for. Cousins looked good for, what, three or four throws especially? He looked like a really good NFL quarterback. And they managed it really, really well. I just was impressed by the effort last night. Being a 4-0 team, I guess you can have the argument that it means a lot, and I think you can just as easily make the argument that it doesn't mean very much at all. It's really great that the Chiefs are 4-0 and the Patriots are 2-2. I'm very happy about the fact that they have an advantage on everybody else in the league, especially in the conference, when it comes to playoff seeding. But the Chiefs are in the middle of a, well, let's see what happens when ... kind of narrative. Because for everything from Alex Smith to Andy Reid to the offense as a whole to the defense as a whole, literally every piece of this team is not going to be able to be fully judged until the playoffs. That's just how it is, and I think that's totally reasonable. With what we've seen so far, again, the Chiefs obviously have the best resume in the league. Are they the most dangerous team in football? Perhaps. If you give Julio Jones back to Matt Ryan, I think that Atlanta still probably has the advantage there. But the Chiefs have managed to even work around their injuries. The Chiefs lost Eric Berry, and it's not been a big deal. They've lost their three interior offensive linemen. Not a big deal. A lot of those things are signs of a very good football team. The NFL can be a war of attrition. And right now the Chiefs are right in the middle of it. Playing very well, beating good teams in difficult spots. I was very happy with the results we saw last night on Monday Night Football. We're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about Marcus Peters. I figured out last night on Twitter, I think my most unpopular Chiefs take is that I think Marcus Peters and Travis Kelce are my two favorite players on this team, which puts me in a very specific demographic, I think. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I play enough fantasy football. I've been playing fantasy football for coming up on 10 years, which is completely bleeping bonkers.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I've barely been potty trained for 10 years.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Breaking news. from last night. Emotions flared in a game revolving around the slaughtering of your opponents. Sports writers were outraged. Marcus Peters, there's a gif of him that showed up, of him yelling into the stands after he gave up one of those touchdowns. And the gif that somebody grabbed had him yelling into the stands, "Bleep you, bleep," as he slammed his helmet into the ground. And there were a few people that I saw, like, condemning that, who I thought, can you imagine? Can you imagine if that guy heard whatever Marcus Peters heard from the stands, what his reaction would be? I just tried to tell Beards. I need a talkback button so I can communicate with Beards in the middle of my sentences. But there were just a lot of people. Going, oh, Marcus Peters, that spoiled, entitled billionaire. Millionaire, I suppose. Oh, sitting for the anthem and now screaming at the fans. Lobbing profanities at him from the stands. Man, it's just... if you have problems with football players looking like human beings, you're going to always have problems with, I guess, everything, really, right? I don't know. I think I realized that the Marcus Peters and Travis Kelce might be my two favorite players on this team because these are two guys that have full, unadulterated, undiluted personalities. And if you need another example of that, Marcus Peters spoke after the game last night and gave you a little bit more of it.
Marcus, were you actually shocked how much they were trying to attack and go at you tonight?
Man, hell no. They wasn't attacking me. I killed my damn self. You feel me? I should have kept backpedaling on that first touchdown. You feel me? Got a little push in the back, but it's the game of football. You feel me? I came out and I was hella weak today. You feel me? I gave up two tugs, but came out with the victory. So I'm going to take it as a learning experience. You feel me? We going to chalk it up and go in the meeting room. And then, you feel me, kick back, chill, and relax.
And you caused that fumble at the end of the game, of course, and Justin got that for the touchdown. How did you feel about that?
That made my game go from hella weak to weak. You feel me? So I ain't hella weak. I'm just weak this week. Next week, I'll get back on my though. So, yeah.
It's awesome. Also, we don't have the end of that clip for some reason. I don't know why.
You could have said that was hella awesome.
I'm not gonna. But then somebody asked him about yelling something into the stands. He said, you know what happened? I'm finna go get loaded. I wanted that audio clip, but whoever was sending that audio back yesterday failed me.
I'm working on getting the actual clip.
I don't know why we don't have it. Who would have... I just don't...
I don't know. It just cut off last night in the email, so... hopefully we'll have it by the end of the show.
Anyway. Peters actually gave up two touchdowns last night. Last night was not a good performance for Marcus Peters, which is not something that I am personally panicking about, although there are a few people on Twitter asking me if I had any concern about that performance. He got beat on a couple of really good routes with really good throws. That's going to happen whenever you have one guy that you're leaving on his own all the time. That's the flexibility that he gives you. I have no problem with that. It's just how he's going to keep playing. He went from being hella weak to just weak. I'm not worried about him being weak. The defense altogether played pretty well last night. They were in a weird place because there was no Dee Ford, so the pass rush was certainly limited. Justin Houston was not sent to Kirk Cousins as often as I would have liked, especially like on that play wherever. Ended up being a 69-yard completion to Vernon Davis whenever Justin Houston was in man coverage with him. Not my favorite. Not my favorite setup of all time, Bob Sutton. But that notwithstanding, the Chiefs held up nicely against a very good offense with a really good quarterback. And again, to the Peters thing, now that, and there was one Twitter account, and then this tweet had like a couple thousand retweets of someone saying, look at Marcus Peters screaming into the stands after being booed for not standing for the moment of silence for the victims in Las Vegas, which is a completely, completely incorrect usage of that. That was not what happened at all. That was in, what, the third quarter after that touchdown he gave up. So if you see that tweet anywhere, do us all a favor and ignore it, I guess. But the type of vitriol that was coming across my Twitter timeline was, if not bizarre, just kind of like embarrassing almost. There was an offensive lineman for the Seahawks this week that left the game with a heart bruise. His heart was bruised. That sounds like a bad metaphor. It is not. It is an actual medical thing that happened this weekend. We've got concussions, we've got CTE, we've got ankles being broken, knees being destroyed, hearts being bruised.
Spirits getting crushed.
I'm trying to stick with the physical currently, but thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You have guys getting hit so hard that their hearts are bruised. But if Travis Kelce pops up after completion and signals for a first down, you say he gets lucky whenever the refs don't call the foul. It's not luck. It was just the refs making the right call. You say that Marcus Peters needs to pull it together whenever he responds emotionally to somebody yelling obscene things to him from the stands. It's a very human response. Just human emotions. In a gladiator ring. Are you kidding me? I don't know. And it's not ignorance. Because a bunch of the people that I've... that I saw stuff from last night are people that know full well what's going on, what goes on NFL sidelines, and certainly on the field. But I think maybe there's an element of that, of people just not fully realizing the emotion that goes into these games. That we as consumers, I think, generally want to have only the most comfortable sorts of emotions allowed. And that's where this stems from. All right, Beards, we're going to have to do one of our evasive maneuvers here. I'm fully congested. I need to blow my nose. And you said earlier that there's an update on a story we had like a week or two ago.
I did.
So I need you to kill my mic and explain this for the audience.
Okay. So I'm sure many of you remember the Mad Pooper. Yeah, the Mad Pooper.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
You remember the Mad Pooper.
Sure.
The Colorado State
Police... Kill my mic again. I'm not done blowing my nose.
Oh, fine. So the Colorado State Police Department has put out a statement. They have not found the Mad Pooper yet. However, they want you to stop calling them about the Mad Pooper.
Wow. That's a very good update. I would have thought, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that update was going to be about them catching the Mad Pooper.
Nope. Still on the run. So watch out.
It seems like you should be able to find that. Like, there was a picture, right, of this woman?
There's a video, I think.
Yeah, like, how have you not identified this person?
There are several photos.
Do any of them have her face in them?
Yeah. One of them does. I mean, it's through, like, a screen door, so it's kind of...
Facebook messaged me that link.
Blurred. Yeah,
send me that link. Because I just would think that if there's this woman who kept pooping outside of, like, residential housing, I should say, and there are pictures of her. Send me the link right now.
I'm opening it up. I'm sending it to you.
I would think that you would be able to identify this woman.
You would think. It is, you know, the 21st century. We have technology.
You can find like a corpse from the 1600s if you have like one strand of DNA. Like this is something. Have you ever watched the show Bones?
I have.
Bones is a show that exists where you can figure out the crime scene.
From, one speck of dirt.
By the dirt that's, like...
I sent you the link, by the way.
With this, thank you. By the dirt that's with this charred corpse. But we can't identify the face of the mad pooper. All right, okay, so this is just a woman. This is a woman from behind. This is her running.
The other picture is down at the bottom of the link. It's from Deadspin, by the way, for those of you who want to look at home.
So they've seen the videos. They don't know. They don't know if they believe that the videos are legit. There's a video called "The Mad Pooper Revealed."
I feel like lots of people coming to the police department saying, "Hey, there's some running woman that keeps pooping on our yards."
Yeah, is that a big problem?
I feel like that's not something that you could make up when there's that many people coming to you and saying, "Hey, there's a mad pooper on the loose." Just throwing that out there.
Attorneys discuss rights to pooping in public after Mad Pooper video release. Here's a comment here. There's no way someone hasn't recognized her. There is something larger at play here, and the whole thing stinks. Someone has to be protecting her identity, because there's loads of evidence, especially since security footage is pretty clear. Why are you protecting her?
That's a great question. We should get to the bottom of this.
All right. By the end of the show today, I want you to identify the mad pooper for me, please.
Okay. I'll work on it.
Also, by the way, the end of the Chiefs game last night was hilarious by the bad beats reasoning. The Chiefs, with the fumble recovery return for touchdown by Justin Houston, the Chiefs covered the spread and hit the over. When the game, if any defensive player would have just fallen on the ball, the Chiefs would not have covered, and the game would have hit the under. And on that scoop and score, everything changed, which had to be such a stressful thing for so many people with money on that game. Did you have an update, Beards, already? You look like you had an update already.
No, but I have some fan theories about who the mad pooper might be.
All right, let's do that.
It could be the mayor's mistress.
Okay.
It could be, has anybody seen the police chief and the mad pooper at the same time?
No, I don't think so.
There you go.
Wow. Allegedly. It's a very bold theory.
Allegedly. We should clarify. Allegedly, the mad pooper might be the mayor.
I had so much more I wanted to say about Peters and Kelsey in this segment. But honestly,
and then
I'm having,
you just had to blow your nose.
But honestly, I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time focusing. I'm afraid for the Pegas remote tomorrow.
They're not ready for us?
No, and there also isn't like a cough button on the board there, on the tie line remote board.
No, there isn't.
You just put on a headset. And I'm afraid about what I'm going to.
Oh, we should also clarify there will be no Facebook live stream tomorrow either, because we're on a remote.
Right, yeah, that's true.
And technically, and just because of technical advantages that we don't have, we can't do that.
It's a good way of putting it.
Yep.
Technical disadvantages, you could say.
I could have said that.
That would have made plenty of sense. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about more Chiefs and less pooping. Probably, I guess. I don't know.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'll say this. I will say this confidently. This world needs more revenge pooping. And less gun violence.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad someone said it. Very brave of me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Beard still on top of it with the questionable liner back from break choices. Good work, Beards. Great timing on that one. Very appropriate, very well timed, very good choice. None of what I'm saying now is sarcastic. God, man, you've been bad these last 2 days. Not like you've been fine. Some of your choices have been bad these last couple of days.
I mean, we can say that about either of us at any time throughout our lives.
That's true. That's true.
Let's not pin this down to, you know, one specific person over a specific period of days.
No, that's very fair. You've made a couple of especially tone-deaf decisions in these last couple of days.
That I will neither confirm nor deny.
That's true. Again, I know that there are people listening to this for Chiefs game breakdowns, and we're going to go back to it, I promise. But I am just like, I can't stop thinking about the remote tomorrow.
I really quickly.
Yeah.
You keep saying, I promise we're going to talk about Chiefs at some point. You say that every day. I need to compile those and see how long it
you
will
should.
Be.
That's funny.
I think you've said that about 10 times in 1 hour before.
You're probably right. But tell you, I want to talk about the Chiefs. But I keep thinking about the remote tomorrow at Pegas. If you want to go by, you want to see the show in this really whimpering state that I'm in, come to Pegas tomorrow at Tournament Parkway in Antioch.
Josh will be in a hazmat suit so as not to infect anyone else.
Right.
I don't know how we're going to get audio from inside the hazmat suit to the headset.
We can probably run it like up the foothole or whatever.
Okay.
Like one of those, like,
yeah, that could work.
Yeah, we'll cut a hole in the suit and then just like.
Oh no, I can't do that.
We'll tape over the hole then.
Okay.
The duct tape.
Super duct tape.
I just, and listen, I also understand the level of my problems. I have a cold at work. I understand this does not make me a Spartan warrior, but also, talking for 2 hours without being able to breathe through your nose is, I'm telling you now, way harder than you'd expect.
No, that does sound like it's an issue, not being able to breathe. Just throwing that out there.
It's not great. Ooh, hey, here's some updates from Michael David Smith. Sunday Night Football has been the most watched TV show in primetime each of the first 4 weeks of the NFL season. The NFL says ESPN's ratings for the first 5 Monday Night Football games are up 6% from the first 5 Monday Night games from last year. Seems like the ratings are going well. So if you're boycotting it, I guess boycott harder because it's not working. But please don't boycott louder. I don't want that either. I hear about it a lot on Twitter, and then I see the NFL's ratings going up and up. I can't breathe, and I can't focus, and I'm worried about the remote tomorrow. Also, if you want to help support the show, and why wouldn't you in this moment, I'm sure this is a good time to mention this. If you go to threadbeast.com and you want to get some new life in your wardrobe, as I am doing through Threadbeast, go to threadbeast.com, sign up, submit what you like, what you don't like, your sizes, what you're looking for as your fashion profile, and don't think, that sounds like something that's not for me. Go check it out first. Go to threadbeast.com, look at what they have, and then look at the options they give you for how you can sort of direct your stylist that they will choose for you, and they will put together a box of clothes and ship it out to you. But if you go to Threadbeast and you sign up and use the code AES50, A as in almost, E as in entirely, and S as in sports, crazy how that works, 50, you get an extra $50 of bonus items in your first box, no matter what level you start at as far as the different tiers that they have whenever you sign up for a box. So go to threadbeast.com, use the promo code AES50, and it'll support the show because they'll see that this show is getting people to use their service and support yourself by getting some dope new clothes. I should have a box coming in, I think, on Thursday, and I'll be putting up a Facebook unboxing on the Jayhawk Nation Facebook page this week. There are a few things for you. Also, Fox has said that Week 4's single-header coverage was the top-rated NFL telecast of the weekend, a 14% growth year-over-year. The NFL's fine, guys. The NFL is fine. Tyreek Hill just saw this story pop up a little bit ago during the break. Tyreek Hill has hired a new agent. The headline here on Pro Football Talk is, Tyreek Hill has a new agent, hopes to increase off-field profile. Chiefs receiver Tyreek, let's read the internet together. I feel like I currently have the right amount of congestion and the right tone to read the internet well. Go. There we go. This is nice.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
Chiefs receiver Tyreek Hill arrived in the NFL with a cloud of controversy due to a criminal past that included assaulting his then-pregnant girlfriend. It was then that Josh realized maybe they should have saved the lullaby music for later. Another poor choice by this production staff, including myself. That's my fault. That one's on me. As he excels on the field and stays away from trouble off it, Hill hopes to turn his current situation into revenue and good deeds by hiring a new agent. Hill has signed with Drew Rosenhaus after going for a period of time without an agent. Although Hill isn't able to negotiate a new contract with the Chiefs until after the 2018 season concludes, his goal is to further his brand via involvement in community activities and to parlay his on-field performance into marketing deals. The former should be easy. There are plenty of worthy causes he can support with time, money, and attention. The latter will be a challenge given the off-field misconduct from his college days. It will also be a challenge for Hill to stand out the way he did a year ago, given reduced involvement in special teams and a role of offense that at times entails drawing attention without the ball, then churning up yardage within it. That's interesting. He's an interesting guy to be out here trying to work up those side hustles. It makes sense. He's a bigger star than he's going to be paid for until after the 2018 season, at least. Seems like a candidate primed for holding out whenever we get there. At the same time, he's also a problematic figure to have endorsing your product. But if this story does have it all right by way of sort of like priorities and where he goes from here, it makes a lot of sense that he would want to start by getting more involved in even more than the usual things the Chiefs players get involved in by way of community enriching activities, etc., where he would have to become a really active face in the community, and I would think would have to be a very active face in an anti-domestic abuse way. And that'll be, I don't know if that's going to work out or not. But I thought that was interesting and something that was worth bringing to your attention. He wasn't a big part of the game last night, but that last line in the Pro Football Talk article I think is interesting because he's always spotlighted by opposing defenses, even whenever he's not the guy getting the ball, even when he doesn't get the ball very much at all. Didn't have a carry last night, and he had 5 receptions for only 35 yards. 7 yards per reception, and it makes sense to some extent. You want to get the ball to him whenever you can in little crossing routes and hope he can make some plays with his feet. But I do want to see the Chiefs continually trying to stretch the field with Tyreek Hill. I can't ever stress how important that is because he's a guy that can completely revolutionize the offense. We said before the season, as if you haven't heard me point this out over and over again, we said that before the season that Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill could revolutionize the offense if Alex Smith would use them correctly. We didn't know that Kareem Hunt was going to be able to do what he's done so far. That adds a whole other level to this. Now there's a 3-headed monster offensively of weapons around Alex Smith, and when healthy, a pretty good offensive line. That is a set of weapons that is always going to have an opportunity to score. I want to see more concentrated efforts on getting more deep shots to Tyreek Hill. But if Travis Kelce is the matchup advantage you want to exploit, you know, 1 week and then it's Hill next week, I can live with that. That's the pattern the Chiefs have shown. Especially, you know, against the Chargers, it was a pretty big Hill day. Only 2 real deep shots to him. One was successful, one wasn't. And Travis Kelce was a non-factor. Last night, we see Travis Kelce be a huge part of this offense, the biggest part of this offense, and Hill takes a back seat. It's just how this offense is going to rotate. And I think this is a good thing, not a drawback. I'm not worried about the fact that they don't seem to be going at the same time so far this year. I think it's because defenses are going to say, here's our focus. We're either more scared, especially now with Kareem Hunt in this conversation, we're either more scared of Kelce or Hill. Also, we have to stop Kareem Hunt. Good luck. And it does keep Alex Smith at the core of this conversation, by the way. Because no NFL team could stop Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Kareem Hunt with Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to them, if that makes sense. Alex Smith is the only thing that I think can really limit this offense right now. And maybe it's Alex Smith and Andy Reid and the offensive line. But that grouping is going to be the limiting factor here. Albert Wilson had a really good night last night. Had the best play I've seen him make in Kansas City with that pass whenever Smith rolled right and it went off his helmet and he caught it. But he's not your fourth weapon. And last night he was used as the second leading receiver. Even with him as the next guy in this grouping behind Chris Conley, even with these weapons around Alex Smith that aren't elite out of those top three, the problem with this offense would never be not enough star power. The Chiefs have three legitimate offensive stars at three different positions. Then I think Chris Conley as weapon number four works out all right. I had questions about Chris Conley as a number two receiver. When you think of him as your number four weapon, it works out. And I think this offense has a very, very high ceiling. But as it always gets back to, it's going to depend on how high Alex Smith can ride with them. Last night, it was high enough.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Do you mind if I go back to talking to this John? Can you mind if I play this John Elway sound?
Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, I'm John Elway. Get your damn politics out of my sports. Also, I love you, Neil Gorsuch.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That was John Elway. Verbatim. Direct audio. Straight from the horse's mouth. Hello. What a joke. Swish.
On ESPN Kansas City.
God, that was too long. That made me laugh like three times. I'd heard that one before.
I made a bunch of new ones today.
Exciting.
And that's one of them.
I love that. That was like a setup, knockdown, setup, knockdown, setup, knockdown, swish. That's good, man. This is something also kind of inside the show that I'm guessing most of you might not fully understand, because how would you? Beards does have an ability to sort of drive the show in a specific direction based off of the liners. I had a plan for what we're going to talk about, kind of.
It's now completely gone away.
But we're now going to another thing that I looked at earlier and was like, should we talk about this? I don't know. It's a story from September 27th.
It's current then.
That I hadn't seen yet, yeah. We missed it by like a week. But the headline is from Pro Football Talk. I saw it as like a suggested story whenever I was reading that Tyreek Hill story. Also, we're going to go back to the Facebook Live comments. There's a handful of things there. I want to read all those and answer some questions there in just a second. But the headline says, Delanie Walker to fans who boycott NFL over protests. Bye. It's just such a good attitude. First of all, I'm going to say this. We're not disrespecting the military, the men and women that serve in the Army. That's not what this is all about. I've been in the U.S., so I support the troops. It's not about that. It's about equal rights, and that's all everyone's trying to show. It's that we all care about each other. And the fans that don't want to come to the game, I mean, okay, bye. I mean, if you feel like that's something, we're disrespecting you, then don't come to the game. You don't have to. No one's telling you to come to the game. It's your freedom of choice to do that. And this, for me, brought up something that I've seen on Twitter, not in my mentions really anymore or in the people that I follow, although I did have somebody Facebook message me and said, hey, I've listened to your show for a long time. Love that thing you did on Sports Sunday with your breakfast sandwich talk. Good, good stuff. Now I'm not going to listen to you anymore because of your stance on the anthem stuff, which is, you know, feels kind of aggressive, but whatever. I disagree with plenty of things.
That was a quick turn from sandwich talk to I'm not going to listen to you anymore.
Yeah, he's like, I'm like, hey, listen, I've listened to your show, and I love your, you know, stay lighthearted, more breakfast sandwiches, less your opinion on this issue. Which, you know, is like just sort of how it works. Anyway, that's fine. I messaged him back. Said, hey, man, I'm thanks for listening for as long as you did, and I'm actually sorry that this one issue is enough for you to, like, say you're never going to listen again. Whatever, I can't control that. Here's the thing, though. There's this other, like, little section of Twitter, and it showed up in what I mentioned earlier where people were tweeting out that Marcus Peters gif and saying that it was after fans were booing him for not standing up for a moment of silence for the Las Vegas victims, which is obviously completely false. Peters was frustrated during the game after giving up a touchdown, is what that gif was from. But there's stuff over on that side of Twitter, of just straight up rabid misinformation Twitter. And I think I finally figured it out, what it is with the boycott thing that bothers me so much. There are plenty of things that I don't watch or don't buy or don't participate in. Everybody has stuff they don't really care about or don't really support. I'm struggling to think of that now, but there are plenty of things. I'll come up with an example later on. You know what? I don't poop outside people's houses. I don't support that. But this is the first time you've ever heard me say that. Here's the thing with the boycotters. This is the thing with boycotting that, with this specific type of boycotting that's annoying to me, is these aren't really, largely these people I see on Twitter aren't here because they're just too morally conflicted to be able to put all of this together. It's because so many of them want to be like wooed back. It's like, I'm not going to watch the NFL. I'm over it. This is not a part of my life anymore. Like, Tommy Lauren had something like that. And then, like, the next week she tweeted, or Britt McHenry, I can't remember. One of those. I wonder how often that mistake gets made. I don't know the difference between Tommy Lauren and Britt McHenry sometimes. But they're both just sort of like, they're both young, blonde, very aggressive, very, I don't want to say even very conservative. I have a lot of, like, politically conservative friends and family. I can live with that. Is alt-right safe? They're not, like, I don't know. Regardless, those two people have a lot in common, so I have a hard time keeping them apart. But one of them tweeted, like, this is garbage, I'm not watching. And then the next week tweeted something about, like, something that was happening on the sideline. Like, oh, Marshawn Lynch sitting for the end. Like, you can't look away. The NFL has you. If you are, like, a diehard NFL fan, the NFL has you. You might have gotten some rage out last week, and you might have burned, as one guy did, all of your Washington Redskins gear. In a bonfire, out of a righteous fury for all of the moralities that you must stand for.
Who was probably the best player in that group of jerseys that got burned?
Nobody? Santana Moss. Boom. Nailed it. There's absolutely a Santana Moss jersey that got burned in there. But if you're going to drop all of your Washington Redskins gear in a bonfire as a point of moral outrage because of the anthem stuff, you're gonna come back. You just are. In fact, whenever Charlie and I were out at the late night at the Fog Fest, whatever thing,
KU late night,
before late night, it was like the pre party.
Oh, okay.
Late night. We were handing out a bunch of like beads and stuff, like beads and koozies and the Chiefs preview magazine that 810 put together. And people took everything, and everyone was cool. And then one guy came by, and we were like, you can take some beads or a magazine or whatever. And he's like, oh, not the, nope. I'm boycotting those guys for a little while. And the way he phrased it was so perfect. Because all I could think about was like, yeah, for a little while. For a little while, you probably are. But the next Sunday night, it's Chiefs Texans. You see on Twitter that it's 14-10 at halftime. Chiefs are getting the ball back. Oh, I'll just turn it on real quick. Boom, they've got you.
I mean, did he even make it that far? He might have made it just to Monday night.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, it's a really good game.
Just out of habit, he goes to the television, sits down on the couch, turns it on, and he's like, halfway through the first quarter, he's like, oh.
Right.
Whoops.
Right. He sees Marcus Peters make a bad play. He mutters a racial slur under his breath, and then he realizes, oh, yeah, I wasn't going to watch this anymore because I'm an angry white guy. I think that has to be happening all over the NFL. The ratings are up. Ratings are up this year. And the first 2 weeks were rough because the first 2 weeks of football were rough. These last 2 weeks have been fantastic. We've seen some really good football, especially here. Like, not only are the Chiefs playing winning football, they're playing pretty fun. Not always, but then I think that's one reason also I like Marcus Peters and Travis Kelce. I was on Twitter last night talking about that, and somebody, I'm going to see if I can find the tweet really quick. RJ popped in and said, so you're not alone. It's just those traditional fans of lunch pail Chiefs that have a problem with the swagger that the new Chiefs play with. And I think there's something there. I don't know if it's generational or not. I don't know. But I think there is a separation of just like, oh, man, I just want those football players to just show up, bash their brains in, win me football games, lose in the playoffs, and then go home again. And I like the attitude. I don't like attitudes that cost the team, but I like the attitudes. I don't mind. You know whose attitude doesn't bother me? Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown threw a Gatorade cooler yesterday. His attitude does not bother me. It's a winning receiver, a very good receiver. I'm not bothered by that. In fact, did you see that Ben Roethlisberger said that Antonio Brown created a distraction that they didn't need?
And then he thus created the distraction. It's no, a never-ending it's more, cycle.
Well, there's a little bit of that. That is a good point. I hadn't thought about that yet, actually, is how he's also enabling that cycle. But somebody, maybe it was Bomani, somebody just tweeted that, said, hey, Ben, you might just have to sit this one out, buddy. Because of Ben Roethlisberger's own distracting past. You can Google it in your own time, because I'm not sure what was convicted and what was alleged, and I don't want to step on any of that right now. God dang it. Saw a tweet that popped up and said that Trump on Air Force One, heading back from his Puerto Rico trip, said, that was a great, great visit. Really lovely. Just such a strange phrase. Anyway. The Royals started this, the attitude thing, and it's different, of course. But, like, Eric Hosmer's attitude was so different than Mike Sweeney's, right? You've got your lunch pail Mike Sweeney, and you've got your Eric Hosmer guy, your Eric Hosmer type, that, like, wants to be a superstar. Travis Kelce wants to be a superstar. Like, he'll be on Dancing with the Stars at some point. I'll bet you any amount of money you want.
He had a dating show.
He had a dating
Let's
show.
Let's not throw that out there.
I was going to bring that let's back,
forget,
actually.
Yeah, let's not forget about that. That was, what, year two or three for him?
After 3 years in the league, probably. You can check that out.
Yeah, I'm going to look.
But he loves doing the post-game interviews on that are televised on ESPN. He wants to be a star. He had a dating show. He'll be on Dancing with the Stars at some point. He wants to be a star. Anybody in, like, sports radio who would fight him on that, would take issue with that, it would be so hypocritical, right? Isn't that what we all want? Does anybody in sports radio not have their name on the show and then be happy and then are happy with it? Like, we have a promo that plays on this station. You've got the ESPN Kansas City is your home for Mike and Mike and Jim Rome and the Dan Lepetard show. For me, I didn't, like, make sure on this, but, like, the voice guy says, almost entirely sports with Josh Briscoe. You know my first thought whenever I heard that?
Joshua.
I said, I'm usually, I go by Joshua.
Yeah, I heard that and I went, oh, I bet you he's excited about that.
But that was my first thought. Not like, oh, good. They made sure they got the with Josh Briscoe part in there. That I maybe there is a generational thing. Also, I have no idea how many people care about this conversation. Something I just was made aware of all at once for some reason. Maybe it's a generational thing with, like, the type of star. But, like, Travis Kelce and Eric Hosmer and whatever, Marcus Peters and Lorenzo Cain, maybe. I don't know if I really get that vibe from Moustakas. I was going to go that direction, but Salvador Perez, to some extent. Big personalities that want to be what it is to be a star in 2017. That's just how it is. And I completely, to not paint over the obvious, I completely get that. I don't want to be a lunch pail to work radio show host every day for the next, like, 30 years. I want to do this. I want to do it weird and differently. And then I want to go, like, you know, party with a rapper. Like, that's it. I 100% get that. I'm more interested in after the show going and hanging out with, Travis Kelce and Donald Glover than I am with Jim Rome and Mike Greenberg. And I am super comfortable with that. I think that's fair and reasonable. But not everybody is with that. I think a lot of people would love to hang out with Jim Rome and Greeny. But that's just not what Travis Kelce is, or Marcus Peters is, or Eric Hosmer is. As it was for Eric Hosmer, are we comfortable using the past tense for Hosmer yet? You know, I guess we'll wait till the World Series is over. I guess technically a Royal until the World Series is over, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we can wait until before the World Series if we want to make it shorter.
I think we'll give it till the World Series is over.
Okay. I guess, until the World Series, Eric Hosmer thinks this way.
Right, exactly. Perfect. I find that interesting because it's just a different... It's a different era of athletes. Also, plus you get athletes who are comfortable and willing to use their platforms for social stances. I'm also super on board with that, obviously. Made that very clear. So, it's people being more than the thing that they do. So it's Travis Kelce being more than just a football player, or it's Colin Kaepernick being more than just a football player. For Kaepernick, it's being a football player and then also having a social cause. For Kelce, it's being a football player and also having a dating show. And I guess that bothers some people because it's really easy to just like root for football players. But if you're rooting for a football player that's also maybe a jerk on his TV show or that stands up for a social cause that you don't believe in, then it gets complicated. It's also why Twitter is so hard for a lot of people. Like Seth Davis, I see criticism for Seth Davis a lot. I think I follow him, but I don't really know his work extremely well. But he does a really good college basketball coverage, and he also like will say something political whenever he feels like it. People hate that because they have to rationalize all that together. So for some people, it makes it very difficult. I'm into it because not only do I want to live outside of the box of sports radio host or whatever, I want to allow other people to do that also.
Seems like there's a lot of the fan population that's always just like we want you to focus on your sport rather than just kind of branching off and doing all these other things.
Right.
Like the
TV Stick to up. Blank.
Yeah.
It's that mindset.
Focus on football.
Be a football player or be an actor or be a musician or be a radio host. Just be the thing that you do for a living and nothing more. That's kind of a crazy thing to expect from somebody. No one is like that. I would never go to Jerry in accounting and say, Jerry, be an accountant and nothing more. Literally only bother me about accounting things. Don't speak unless spoken to about anything other than accounting. No one is that. Everybody has music that they like. Everybody has movies that they like. Everybody has political opinions. Everybody has sports rooting interests. So, I mean, like, for me, it would be like finding out that somebody that I support politically is, like, a Raiders fan. Oh, no. How can I rationalize? No, I did it. That's fine. It's okay. I'm comfortable with that. I'm not thrilled about it, I guess. But, like, if I have a political opinion that you don't jive with, and you say, I'm not going to listen to you anymore because of this, I think that's about the equivalent of saying, oh, I was going to vote for this guy, but he's a Broncos fan, therefore I'm not. I know there are more things that go into political beliefs than go into rooting interests, but I'm going to say that's a decent analogy. I also now wish there was some political figure that was some very divisive political figure that was also a Broncos fan or something like that. Next year, coming up next on Almost Entirely Sports, we talk to Bernie Sanders, rabid Broncos fan. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
And I don't hate Alex Smith. I don't. Beard is going to cut don't out of that. You're so predictable.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Because that's what I was going to do.
Because you marked it and then I said, I don't hate Alex Smith. And then you marked it again.
I didn't even think about that until you said that. So thanks for the idea.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Yeah, dang it. I walked right into that one.
At least we have context.
Yes, I do appreciate that.
It's not just like some of the other liners that I have where it's just completely out of context.
Yeah, where
you
I'm just
something dumb.
Yes.
Like, you know, half of them.
that's what this show is built on. Real quick, one more thing on our topic from last segment, and then we're going to shift to other stuff. David tweeted in and said, what they're saying is they're listening because they enjoy sports, not because they care about you and all you're about. They might begin to care about you after a while, but most casual listeners, when you hear about the subject matter, I'll also say that to me it appears narcissistic and self-centered to assume that people care about everything that you say about everything. I think this is fair. It's also just a place where I'm willing to take an L. For a couple of reasons, and the one small exception I take to this is the idea that I've ever really talked about things outside of the realm of sports. The Anthem stuff is within the arena pretty well. I would say that actually the name of this show has been not lived up to quite as much as I thought it would be. I thought the show would spend more time outside of sports than
it has. Football season, though.
That's true.
That's kind of a
that's
big
true.
Thing. You're a big football guy. Once we kind of get out of football and get into like more basketball and baseball,
but I also really like college basketball, and I'm willing to get more into the NBA, and that's your area of expertise. Like, I think this is going to continue to be a very sportsy show.
Also, the NFL is just a much bigger national
yes,
storyline,
of course,
than any of the other stuff is. So,
and so
almost entirely sports except for football season.
Right, well, then it's just like almost
then it's 90% football.
Seriously, oh, that's good. That's a better name for this show.
90% football.
Yeah, that's a good call. But so that I take a little bit of exception to. But even then, if we talk pop culture for 10 minutes, talk Matt Pooper for 10 minutes, whatever. It's entertainment. It's entertainment radio. That's kind of the goal of it for me. But also, the idea that it's narcissistic and self-centered to assume that people care about what I'm saying about things that aren't specifically about, like, your team, that might be true. Like, you can feel that way, and I'm not going to fight with you. But that's not the radio that I, like, grew up on. My biggest influences was the weirdness that was the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Tony Kornheiser's show, and Dan Le Batard's show. Those shows are all heavily self-involved. And so I bought into the show as a whole. And I also think that's what builds a following. If I want to hear about just the Chiefs in general, I've got a lot of places to go for that. If I want to hear about the NFL in general, there are a billion podcasts. Personality is what people like go back for, if that makes sense. And you can do it in different ways. You can be the best analyst in the game, you know? You can be very, very sportsy, and people come back to you because you're analyzing sports very, very well. I think that's safe to say that's what the program has done to succeed so much over the years. I know that at any given point, if I flip over to 8:10 from 10 to 2, they're going to be talking about sportsy things in a smart way that brings new stuff to the table every time, and Sarah's going to make fun of Curtis at some point, and that's the show. And that, to have a sliver of that success would, I'm sure, be fantastic. But that's not the type of show that I got hooked on. There are so many different ways of doing radio. And this is how I like it, I guess. Does that make sense? Is that reasonable and fair? I don't know. There's lots of really, really good radio, and lots of really, really good radio in this city. And I think if we went through it, like, step by step, which we're not going to do, I'm not going to address every single radio show in the city and why I think each thing has its, what each succeeds at most and what it sucks at most. I'm not going to do that. But I think if you did that and you really listened, and you can make this about podcasts or whatever, you really listen, you can always find something that, oh, that's what people keep coming back for. And that's the place where it doesn't work for some people. Those are very often going to overlap. So I just think that's just what this show is. It's the kind of radio that really, really hooked me as I was figuring out what kind of entertainment I liked. Did I accidentally offend anybody in there? I don't think I did. Am I good, Beards?
I'm good. That's all that matters.
You're good?
Yep, I'm good.
Hold on. Beards just said one word into my ear very quickly. I didn't catch you do that again. It was a Levitard reference. Got it. Okay, let's go. Oh, Facebook Live comments. Let's do that. A few Chiefs things here. Try to bring you back from the from whatever crevice you might be staring into right now. Thomas says, I don't understand why he drops him in coverage, him being Bob Sutton and him being Justin Houston. The only way Houston will help our pass defense is whenever he's getting after the quarterback. I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's an instance where Sutton has said he wants to keep defenses guessing. He wants to make sure that quarterbacks can't always know where Justin Houston is and what he's doing and where he's going. I would rather have Justin Houston doing the most obvious thing and doing the best, most important thing. That's just me. Also, Thomas said... After the bedtime story we did with Tyreek Hill signing with an agent, he just said worst bedtime story ever, and he's so right. It really was.
Now, does he mean delivery or content on that?
No, that's I think important. He seems like he gets it. He said OMG LMAO, so I think he's laughing with us, okay. Not at us.
Hopefully, my ego is very sensitive,
of course. I think he realized also when we realized that we were playing Lullaby Music underneath a story about Tyreek Hill that appropriately referenced his past, and it just sort of made for a really terrible lullaby. Thomas also said it almost seems like Sutton doesn't trust Murray and Sorensen to cover Davis or Reed, didn't trust him to cover Davis or Reed last night. Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed. That's also really interesting. They did manage the tight ends really well, except for on that one play. Oh, man, I just clicked off the video and the comments went away. This is so hard. Life is so difficult. I just wanted to go back to the box score. Jordan Reed was a non-issue last night. 3 receptions for 21 yards, and Vernon Davis also had just 2 receptions for 89 yards, but one of them was 69 yards on that play where Justin Houston got beat and then just chased out. Listen, Beards, if you're going to do what you just did, just do it on air. We're going to do it again. We're going to do it again from the top. Jordan Reed was a non-factor last night. 3 receptions for 21 yards. I barely ever saw him on the field. And Vernon Davis was also really limited. Limited successfully. He ended up with just 2 receptions. He ended up having the 89 yards, one of them being the 69-yard long.
Nice.
And that was a relatively well-controlled tight end group there. I think it was more Bob Sutton making a bad call in one play or a bad matchup being exploited by Washington. I don't know how exactly the Chiefs were dealing with the tight ends. I would love to see some more breakdown on that in the coming days to see what kind of level of scheming Bob Sutton was doing with the safeties, with the corners.
Is that also just an Eric Berry not being their thing, probably?
But the thing, though, is I would have expected that to be worse. Berry was so good against Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah.
That thank you. For your affirmation, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Good take.
He was so good against Gronkowski that I've kind of been expecting for the tight ends for opposing teams to be a little bit more successful. The tight ends for Washington last night had one play. They had one play, and it was beating Justin Houston because Vernon Davis is still faster than Justin Houston is, even though Vernon Davis is 1,000 years old. Keyshawn points out that Justin Houston got the holding treatment so bad last night. Yeah, he did, and it's a kind of a bizarre thing in the NFL right now where I never really know what's holding and what isn't, what gets called, what doesn't. It's all over the place, and I would love to see some more consistency there, but, you know, it's also a hard job. David chimes in on Twitter. So, as always, you can comment on the Facebook Live page at facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. You can watch the Facebook Live show there, and you can comment as we go. You can also always tweet me at JB Briscoe. David chimes in and says, honestly, I think Murray and Sorensen have been playing beautifully both against the run and the pass. It's really, really hard to watch safety play live because they're often not in the shot at all. I couldn't tell you a time yesterday whenever I thought Murray or Sorensen got beaten. You see that. You see whenever a safety loses a matchup, be it in the run game or in the pass game. I didn't see either of those guys slip up yesterday. I haven't seen either of them slip up much at all since Barry went out. And in fact, I did an interview with Texans Radio today that will be out later this week. And the lady of Texans Radio asked me, she said, how have they been dealing with the loss of Eric Berry? It seems like it'd be a big deal. And I said, I feel like they've been doing really, really well in their absence, in his absence. They've got some talent there. I always thought the Chiefs were very deep at safety. Good God. Rewind. I always thought the Chiefs were very deep at safety. But with whatever you can credit to Bob Sutton, and whatever you credit simply to the performance of Eric Murray, Daniel Sorensen, and especially Ron Parker, still the most underrated dude on this team, the safety position has been fantastic. David also asks, did you notice any significant difference with Ragland in there? How many rushing yards did the running backs have? I forgot that we hadn't even talked about Reggie Ragland. Reggie Ragland got the start yesterday, and I'm not sure Ramique Wilson ever got on the field, now that I think about it, with the defense. He definitely did not record a tackle. Ragland only had one. So I'm not going to say that Reggie Ragland was changing the game with his single tackle, but the fact that he was not only healthy enough to start, but healthy and also the Chiefs trusted him in that starting role, I think bodes very, very well for the future. In the future of Reggie Ragland on this team. Washington was held to 111 rushing yards. 38 of those came from Kirk Cousins. So the running backs, again, went 6 for 27, 6 for 23, and 7 for 23. Beards, we're going to call an audible here really quick. Not really an audible, but I need an assist. I've gotten through a pretty good stretch of time here with some congestion, but now my nose is starting to run a little bit. So I need to go back to the shot clock. I'm going to let you turn off my mic and you take over for the 24 seconds of the shot clock we have.
Alrighty.
And I want you to explain the changes that were made in the NBA All-Star game today.
You do sound stuffy.
I'm having a hard time.
All right, here we go. So, NBA announced today that they're revamping the All-Star format. Instead of just East versus West, there will be captains. They've talked about this before, but this is the first year they'll actually implement it. It will still be 12 players from each roster or from each conference doing this. So it'll still be, 12 Eastern players, 12 Western players, and it's just the players with the most votes will then be captains, and they'll just choose whoever they want.
Durant, Westbrook, captains.
LeBron.
No, I want Durant and Westbrook.
That would be great. I will not lie. That would be fun.
Better yet, I want one of those guys, and then I want Westbrook to be a captain.
And
I want him. I want him to just not pick Durant an obscenely long period of time. I want Durant to be the last pick.
Collusion.
Who else wouldn't take Durant or Westbrook? I don't care.
Who else wouldn't?
Yeah. Like Paul George, because I'm going to say at this point he doesn't want to acknowledge Durant. I want Westbrook and Paul George to be the captains of these teams so the two of them could just not pick Kevin Durant
LeBron.
Until the very end. LeBron would take him to win in an All-Star game.
Maybe.
LeBron's competitive.
He wouldn't take Kyrie, though, probably.
Ooh. That's a good call.
The NBA is fun with its little petty rivalry sometimes.
Kyrie, KD team captains? That could be spicy.
Top vote getters. I don't remember if it's from each conference, like the top vote getter in the East and the one in the West, or if it's just the top two in general. But my guess is it'd probably be like Steph, Westbrook, Durant, or LeBron.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I was a little disappointed, though, when I read it was still, they were still doing 12 from each conference, because there's going to be some, it's going to be dark over there on the East bench.
So here's the, this is really
It's quick. Not going to be pretty.
Really quick. If you were going to say right now, you're going to give this team, this fictional team I'm going to build,
mm-hmm.
you're going to give them a month to practice together,
okay,
and anybody can coach them. Any head coach, Brad Stevens is their head coach.
Cool.
Warriors versus Eastern Conference All-Stars.
Ooh.
7-game series.
Let me look at what that roster would look like, and then I will get back to you. Does that sound
Can we start
acceptable?
Building that? Is it, it's LeBron.
LeBron, Kyrie.
Kyrie. John Wall.
I'd take John Wall in a heartbeat.
John Wall's a good call.
Giannis.
Okay.
Embiid?
If he's healthy, time of the season. That team could beat the Warriors in a 7-game series, right? Maybe. That's so absurd. Like, their sixth man is gonna be Kevin Love. Or Giannis Antetokounmpo.
They gotta have a good defense, though. That's the thing.
God, I tell you what, I know this for sure. If you weren't annoyed with this show whenever we talked about, like, radio and a little bit of, like, anthem stuff for, like, a solid 10 minutes, after you'd made it through all the mad pooper stuff, waiting for your Chiefs conversation, you've got to be furious after the NBA talk we just did. Chiefs analysis next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
All right, if you come back tomorrow, the show will be better, I promise.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I can't promise that tomorrow. Just because I'm afraid I'm going to feel worse tomorrow. And we're doing the show live from Pegas. Please come see it. Please come hang out with us. 4 to 6.
Wet and wild, wacky Wednesday.
Come for a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday out at Pegas at Antioch and Shawnee Mission Parkway. We will be live and getting funky. You can come by and we'll say hi. We'll talk a little bit during commercial breaks. We'll take some pictures. I'll sneeze in your food for you if you want. You can take one of my game-used snot tissues home. Put it in a little display case. Brandon Kyle, we've had on the show a few times, said, I see Marcus Peters is getting the Odell Beckham Jr. treatment in Kansas City. I also really like Odell Beckham. If I'm nothing else, I'm at least consistent. Here's an interesting story. Schefter just tweeted this out a little bit ago. He said, or Field Yates tweeted it, Adam Schefter retweeted it. Said, upon appeal, Bears linebacker Danny Trevathan's suspension has been reduced from 2 games to 1. That hit was brutal. The hit that he was suspended for, and the reaction was terrifying. Because there are a bunch of guys who around, it was Devontae Adams, right? I think it was Devontae Adams who got hit. The guys around Devontae Adams started waving for trainers in a way that you very, very rarely ever see in the NFL. Just they knew he was out or his face exploded or something. Like, it was really bad. But whenever I watched it in full speed, I didn't think that Trevathan should have been suspended for 2 games. Maybe not even 1. I know it's a really weird place to find myself, but everything moving as quickly as it was there, Adams was still trying to pick up more yardage, and Trevathan hit him. Now, the helmet-to-helmet thing is no good, but Trevathan dropped his head late, and Adams dropped his head late. I didn't think that was worth a suspension. Brutal. Hard to watch. But not, by my estimation, the sign of a guy purposefully trying to hurt another guy. Just from my perspective. Chiefs went 29-20 last night. They flipped the over under line and the spread on the last play, which has been a national story today, just because it was so fully absurd. But what I took away from last night, that Alex Smith looks like a guy who could play like this more often. He kept his eyes up under pressure, with literally one exception. He wasn't taking deep shots downfield. He was taking short and a couple of mid range shots. This isn't my favorite Alex Smith. My favorite Alex Smith was in week 1. But this is, I think, the most realistic Alex Smith that can still win you playoff games. He was under pressure last night. He was making quick decisions. He was getting the ball out quickly and throwing it mostly short to his playmakers. I think that can be enough for this team to win at least enough games to get you to the AFC Championship. I don't expect him to look like he did against the Patriots again. And if he looks like he did against the Chargers, it won't be good enough. But I think last night was that sweet spot of Alex Smith. You go, that's still definitely Alex Smith out there, but this is him doing it at the best repeatable level. Also, Kareem Hunt is from another planet. just phenomenal. Like, record setting. And not only is he the rookie of the year, especially now, this is unfortunate, but Chris Carson and Dalvin Cook are both out for the season, two other rookie running backs. He's going to be the rookie of the year, barring an injury or a really catastrophic drop in performance that I don't think is realistic at all. And right now, he might be leading the league in an MVP vote. Who's been more valuable than Kareem Hunt this year? Who has better stats on any level whatsoever? Are you going to give it to Jared Goff?
Maybe Smith?
See, that's the thing, though, is he's still Alex Smith. His stats still aren't impressive outside of the quarterback rating, which some people have learned to love, apparently. And he's not the most eye-catching player on this team. He's not top three. So that is, I think Kareem Hunt is the team MVP, the league MVP, rookie of the year. And I'm not sure anybody is close right now. It's amazing. Again, we're 4 weeks in. Something to keep an eye on. All right, Beards, I'm going to give you 24 more seconds of NBA because I'm fully congested and also my nose is running. So this is another one of those instances where I apologize to the audience who doesn't care about the NBA. But if you care about my health and getting through the rest of this show, here's 24 more seconds of Beards. This is Beards on the NBA if a Eastern Conference All-Star team could beat the Warriors.
It's not pretty. I'll start there. Starters, Kyrie, Chris Middleton, LeBron, Giannis, you can switch those two around three and the four. And then healthy Joel Embiid.
Did you say Chris Middleton?
I did.
Who was that?
Milwaukee Bucks.
Turn my mic off.
Then we've got John Wall, Kevin Love, Porzingis, Hayward, and Bradley Beal on the bench. I need shooting, I need size, I need switchability.
Who wins that game?
Probably them, just because, you know, once you go into Golden State's bench, it's...
not John Wall.
Exactly. It's not John Wall, and it's not Bradley Beal, and it's not Porzingis.
All right, here's one more horn to end that because we went a little over. I tweeted...
That's good radio.
I imagined. I tweeted this out earlier. Doing a radio show without being able to breathe through your nose is actually harder than I thought it was going to be. And this last half hour has been the worst. This last half hour has just been my nasal passages caving in on themselves, fully cutting off all passageways. I can only breathe through my mouth, but I also have to put words out of my mouth. It's...
dirty mouth breather.
I'm not usually this Eli Manning, but I am right now, and I have to speak in short sentences and take quick breaths.
What's the thing where they like cut a hole in your neck so that you can breathe?
I think it's a tracheotomy.
I think we might need to resort to that here soon.
I think that would probably damage my radio voice.
Okay, do you want to talk or do you want to have a golden voice?
I mean, I already have.
I should say bronze voice. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
All right, you son of a bleep. I want to be able to breathe again. That's for sure. And I've got Mucinex. I've got some Sudafed. I've got some nasal spray that's supposed to like open up your passageways for 12 hours. I was doing shots of that in the parking lot before I came into work today. Which actually probably explains my problem. I probably should have just squirted it up my nose like the bottle says to do instead of taking shots of it.
That's probably a good idea.
But I was using that, and I have found no relief. And this is like day two of this problem. And tomorrow we're at Pegas with no cough button. It's harder for me to communicate with you, and I'm going to be surrounded by people having dinner.
And there's Charlie.
And Charlie. Yeah, I need to make sure Charlie does bring another headset with him.
24 seconds of fantasy. Go.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Right, that's exactly what it's going to be. Is for you, it's if I need 24 seconds, I just say, Beards, 24 seconds, NBA, go. Charlie, 24 seconds, talk about your own fantasy team. Go. So make sure tomorrow you just have the shot clock ready to glow. Ready to glow? Ooh, I took the L out of clock and I put it in glow, I think, is what happened there. I hope that's not what happened there. I'm sure we'll find out tomorrow if that's what happened there. It'll be a liner if it did happen. If it didn't happen, we'll never hear about it again.
If it's really good, it'll be on Last Week On.
That's true. I think I was okay, but I didn't think that's what happened.
I think you were safe, but it was just dangerous enough that it was fun.
Yeah, man, I had a really good liner that could have been the good line that could have been the end of the show. But we're not. The show's not over yet.
Yeah, we still got about 4 more minutes here. Yeah. You want to save it?
Yeah.
Just sit here for 4 minutes
of
silence?
Well, now I've interrupted it already, so I think it's over.
Do we want to do an encore at the end of the show
just
then?
Just dangerous enough to be fun. No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
You'll have to tell me what it was after the show.
Fine. Just ridiculous. Also, as I mentioned earlier, no show Thursday or Friday this week, and the Chiefs played Monday Night Football. So today is pretty much, I was going to say, was pretty much all Chiefs in Washington. That's not true. But tomorrow, that was most of today. Most of tomorrow is going to be looking ahead to Chiefs-Texans, a really, really interesting matchup with a quarterback who's looked really good these last few weeks, last 2 weeks, really. Tom Savage and then a little bit of Deshaun Watson put up 7 points against Jacksonville. Then Deshaun Watson put up 13 at the Bengals. But then at the Patriots, they put up 33. And versus the Titans at home, they put up 57 last week. But I do think, actually, that Bob Sutton's going to have some very specific things planned for Deshaun Watson. A little tease into what tomorrow's show is going to be made up of. God, I can't breathe.
On the bright note, we've got 2.5 minutes left, so you need to make it 2.5 more minutes, and then you can collapse.
I want to go home and go to sleep so bad and just try to sleep this away. The problem is whenever I lay down, it all gets worse. This happened last night. I like, after the game and after post-game and everything, I laid on the couch, and there was a terrifying few moments. There was a terrifying few moments in which I had no air going through my nose whatsoever, and I was gasping like a damn fish. I was just gulping for air. Beards mercifully played the music a minute early. He's going to put an extra minute of commercials in to finish the show out, so I don't die here on this microphone.
It will appease all our suffering.
It really will. I mean, oh man, dang it, Beards. I had one more minute of really great Chiefs analysis that I was going to give to all the people who suffered through so much non-Chiefs stuff in this show, and I don't have any time to do it.
I'll take a minute out of commercials tomorrow. It'll even out.
There's going to be a lot of Chiefs tomorrow. I feel like we had a lot of Chiefs today to start off with. I don't have them this last hour. I've been delirious. I'm high on Sudafed. Can you get high on Sudafed? We'll talk to you tomorrow live from Pegas. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.